You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. Today, Pastor Ray talks about the power of speaking life and blessing into our children. Here's Pastor Ray.
Well, you've got this. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48? Genesis 48 in your Bible or your Bible app. I know you haven't been to Genesis for a while, right? We don't get there very often, but you've got this. So find Genesis chapter 48, and we're going to talk about how to leave a legacy of love for our kids, or just how to leave a legacy of love, period, to no matter who is in your life, whether you're a father or not. We're going to talk about that from Genesis chapter 48. I'm excited about this message. I think it's so, so powerful. The word is so powerful, not because I'm doing it, but because I think the Lord has a message for us today. And while you're doing that, while you're finding that, let me just mention a couple of other things for all of you, not just for our dads, but for all of you in the bulletin today. I came across this, and I had our team reproduce this in this kind of a keepsake form. But this was put out years and years and years ago by one of my favorite motivational speakers, Zig Ziglar. He's gone on to be with Jesus, but what a great communicator and motivator he was. And this is in the form of, if I had it to do over again, these are the things that I would do from the perspective of a father. You know, I thought about these. Wow, wouldn't it be great if we would look at these and begin to do these very things before we got to the end, and we would not get to the end and say, man, if I had it to do over again, I would do this or I would do that. So when you have a moment, read through this and think about it and maybe make some changes as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Keep this in a place that you can look at and review it from time to time, just to make sure you're staying on task with really the most important task of life. And those most important tasks are relational. Not so much what you do in your job or, you know, the responsibilities you have here at church, as important as those are, but the most important things in life are the relationships that we have and where to keep healthy. The other thing I want to mention is that we've not talked about this publicly, and we're kind of keeping it a little bit under the radar, but I want to let you in on it, and that is, a week from this Sunday, on Sunday night, Lynn and I are going to hop on a red-eye flight, and we're going to go to Ethiopia to train. Get this. This is just amazing open door the Lord has given us. We're going to train the Prime Minister of Ethiopia and his cabinet and leadership. We've been invited to step into this role, and we're just going, God, what are you doing? Who are we? I'm going to try not to do anything stupid, you know, something culturally inappropriate, you know, and Linda's there to help me. That's why she's going, just to keep me in line. And we're going to train them in transformational leadership, which we've had here at the church. And so just pray for us. I know the enemy doesn't want this. We've already run into a lot of issues, just things happening and stuff that I won't bore you with. But just know that God is at work opening doors for Portland Christian Center and through the Petros Network. And the enemy's fighting it like crazy. So just keep us in your prayers over that next few days as we go to take on this this opportunity and the possibility of then, as a result of that training, what is it, 1.7 million civil servants in Ethiopia in transformational leadership, if this works out well. So I think it will, because the Lord's opened that door. Okay, so thank you for your prayers in advance for that. So Genesis chapter 48, we're going to talk about leaving a legacy of blessing. And I want to start with verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16, the text says, and Jacob blessed them. Jacob blessed them. Jacob's now an old, old, old man. He's the patriarch of his family. He's both father and grandfather. And this is the setting where Joseph is bringing his sons. Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, have been elevated to the status of Jacob's son. Okay, it's a whole different story. But Jacob is blessing his sons, and he is now blessing these two grandsons as well. And this is what he says. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who shepherded me all of my life, even to this day, the angel. Now, by the way, when in the Old Testament it talks about the angel of the Lord, it's referring to the Lord himself who showed up in a physical form, a visible form to rescue, to provide for, to protect his people. And so it's not some sort of angelology or olatry going on here, but he's referring to God himself, the God of hosts, who shepherded me all of my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm. May he bless these boys. May he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth. We'll stop there. And Jacob blessed them. I read a fascinating story years ago. I've referred to this in the past. But this took place in the 1990s in Pilanesberg National Game Preserve in South Africa. Len and I have been there with our kids. It's an amazing place. I think our building team went there last year. And in this game preserve, 39, this is in the 1990s, in 1990, they found that 39 rare white rhinos had been killed. Not by poachers, but by teenagers. Teenagers gone wild. Teenage elephants gone wild. It began a decade before in the 1980s when the park had this burgeoning population of elephants, and the park couldn't sustain all of the elephants. You know, elephants are pretty large, right? And they can be destructive in the environment. And so the park rangers decided that they would take care of this problem by culling the herd. And back in those days, because they didn't have the ability to transport elephants to different parts, they killed off all of the adult bull elephants, all of the adult male elephants were killed just to slow the soaring birth rate. But without dominant bulls, the young males experience something that is called must. Now, you can go look that up, but it's when they come into adolescence. It's when elephants begin to produce excessive testosterone. It has to do with the mating season. They get aggressive. And so before their time, these young males began to produce excessive testosterone. They became sexually active way too early, and they became very, very aggressive. And they roamed, literally, they roamed in gangs. They vandalized the park. They tore down trees. They would pick up logs and toss them. They would blow water at the other animals when they normally wouldn't do that. They acted like bullies. They acted like teenage bullies. And they became violent. And they were the ones responsible for trampling these white rhinos to death. So the park rangers rightly theorized that these elephants gone wild had done so because they had no male role model. So what did they do? They brought in a large bull elephant. And guess what? Yeah, the rampaging stopped. He established dominance the first day he was there. In fact, I was reading you can look this up and read the story. It's absolutely fascinating case study on this. When they brought this bull elephant in, one of these young adolescent elephants, they're pretty good size, you know, anyway at that age, challenged the bull. I mean, he literally went up to the old man and challenged the bull elephant. The bull elephant kicked the young elephant and sent him flying several feet into the air, they reported. And it said all of the other adolescent males backed down right away because they respect size in the elephant world, right? So he established dominance, and the rampaging stopped literally overnight, and the juvenile delinquents were reformed. Do you suppose that has any correlation to human society? Nod your head and say yes, and that'll be the right answer. You know, Linda says that the kids and even our animals were different when I was home. Even the dog was more cooperative when he heard my voice. It's just something about the role that God has given the man, not to the detriment of the woman, but there's some things that God created men to do that women can't, and there are a few things that men can't do that only women can, and God made us to be complementary in that respect. But you can read any number of case studies about this. Now, these case studies are being buried by our kind of elitist progressive culture in the academic world and in kind of the media world, and you won't see many of these, but you can look them up and read about these unintended consequences of the diminishing of the adult male role, the role model. So a number of these studies would say, yes, there's a correlation to human society and what happens in kids. But one in particular, love this study, it's called Fatherless in America. I would encourage you to buy the book on Amazon by David Blankenhorn. Read the study. It's been really criticized by people that don't like what it says, but you got to read it. It's just fascinating. But he wrote this book called Fatherless in America based on some studies and research that he had done, and he summed it up this way. I want you to see this. The U.S. is becoming a fatherless society. Tonight, now this is 20 years ago now, probably even greater than this, tonight about 40% of kids will sleep in homes in which their biological fathers don't live. Never before in this country have so many children been voluntarily abandoned by their fathers. Never before have so many children grown up without knowing what it means to have a father. Fatherlessness is the most harmful demographic trend of this generation. It is the leading cause of declining child and adult well-being. It is also the engine driving our most urgent social problems, from crime to adolescent pregnancy to child sexual abuse to domestic violence against women. So would you agree that we need a revival of fatherhood in America? We need a revival of fatherhood in our nation. The family is in crisis, and the key to its survival is the restoration of fathers to biblical fatherhood, to biblical manhood, to biblical fatherhood. And we make no apology for that in this church. And that's part of what we do in our discipleship training. We want men to know how to be godly, biblical men and fathers. That is what is going to transform the family, the American family. That is what is going to transform it. It did for Jacob and his family. His family story is one of deep dysfunction. If you want to know what, if you want to look up dysfunctional family in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of Jacob's family right there. They had it nailed. They were dysfunctional as the day is long. There was disunity. There was envy among the siblings and rivalry. There was promiscuity. There was violence. And there was estrangement. This family was not intact. But ultimately, and over time, with some intentionality, with God's help, they became a family of destiny. By God's grace, it got turned around. They became a family of destiny. And ultimately, God shaped Jacob's family into the nation of Israel. Jacob was renamed Israel, and now the nation of Israel, the people of God, were named after him. God's covenant people came out of that dysfunctional mess. And from Israel came the Mosaic Law, the Levitical priesthood, the Davidic kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, the Old Testament, the New Testament, our Judeo-Christian heritage, all came from this man and his family that God turned around. Genesis chapter 48 is one of the critical ways they turn that corner. Jacob, now an old, old man, he can't see very well, and he's both dad and granddad already, as I've said, he does something for his children that every child wants and every child needs. He gave them the blessing. He passed on to them the blessing. So what is the blessing? Well, in Scripture, the father would pass on the blessing to the child. And it was a formal occasion. God bless you. It was a formal occasion. And it became a spiritual marker in the life of that child that shaped the rest of his or her life. Even if the child was an adult when they received the blessing from the father, it was that powerful. Now, here's what it was. The father's blessing would affirm the child's value, and give prophetic direction to their future, an impact that would last for generations. Now, in our culture, we're mostly ignorant of the biblical blessing or the parental blessing. If a father is commissioned by God to pass it on, but if the father's not in the home, the mother should be passing on the blessing. But we're mostly ignorant of the blessing in our culture today. But in truth, every human being longs for the approval and the prophetic guidance from their dad or from their parent. And missing out on it leads to a lifelong search to find the blessing, even if it's a subconscious thing, to receive the blessing from somebody. They can't get it from the dad. They didn't get it from the mom. We are on a lifelong pursuit to receive the blessing. And often that pursuit is non-productive at best and destructive at worst. Maybe you're on that search today. You know, maybe you, as you listen to this, the Holy Spirit's going to prod you and prompt you with this. It may be some of the things that you're trying to do is nothing more than trying to capture the blessing that you never got as a child. Maybe your relationship with your dad was horrible. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he was absentee. Maybe he wasn't there at all. Maybe you didn't know your dad. Maybe he died before you got a chance to know him. Maybe you lived in a broken, dysfunctional home And really, you're still insecure and you're unstable in many ways because you're searching for the blessing. And the good news is, before you leave here today, you can receive the blessing from the greatest Father of all. I guarantee that. Listen, I guarantee for sure that your child, if you have one, no matter what age they are, or your grandchildren, no matter what age they are, desperately long for the blessing to come from someone. And since you're the someone sitting here today, they long for the blessing to come from you. And let me just broaden this a little bit here. No matter what your relation, no matter what your gender, male or female, no matter what your status, married or single, no matter what your relationship in your marriage, at work, on your team, in your friendship circles, here at church, the blessing, the formal blessing, the spiritual blessing, that is affirmation of who that person is, their value before God, and prophetic direction, is in your power to give. Every single one of you sitting here today, the blessing is in your power to give. And I want to challenge you with that before this message is over. So the question then would be, how do you give your child? Or how do you give another person? How do you give them the blessing? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you. Jacob did three things. First of all, Jacob blessed these boys. Jacob blessed his grandsons with meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. Now, that is not easy in our culture today, is it? I mean, especially the last few years. I mean, people are getting hauled into court or hauled into the court of public opinion for inappropriate touching. And much of that is true. Men have misbehaved. But isn't it like the enemy to mess up something that is so powerful that God created us for? Isn't it like the enemy to mess up?